could spend a moment with some remarkable people and discover what their life sounds like, what would you ask? Welcome to Are We On Air? An audio encounter. I'm Armand Nafei, and each episode will feature one conversation with an inspiring friend of mine who will share with us the soundtrack to their life. Welcome back to another episode of Are We On Air? For this week's, I have a dear friend of mine who's the man about town. He's an amazing artist, an inventor, and space enthusiast, and his name is Tom Sachs. Welcome, Tom.
This is Tom Sachs in Rockaway, New York, and it's April 14th, 2020. There is some sounds in the background, and that's the sound of my two-year-old son, Guy Louis Armstrong Sachs.
How's it going? I guess you're in your studio in New York right now.
I am. I'm in my basement studio in Rockaway, Queens, where it's much, much smaller than my studio in New York. It's 15 feet by 50 feet, including the laundry room and storage for everything in the house. And I feel very connected to my roots because both my mom's parents and my dad's parents both lived in houses and had their workshops in basements. One was a doctor and one was a dentist. And that's where stuff happened. And they lived near this guy on Utopia Parkway named Joseph Cornell, this artist. And his buddy Marcel Duchamp would go over and help him with carpentry. And together they made these little boxes of things that Cornell found on the street and poetically assembled into his magic little boxes. And they were small, and in a way it was a reflection of the small space, and I'm making small things right now.
Wow. Well, there you go. It's going back to the roots. Everyone is scaling down during these days. Well, to kind of kick it off, the purpose of this interview series is to kind of get an idea of who you are, but through a couple of songs and what kind of gets your creative juices flowing. So to begin with, what's your earliest significant musical memory that shaped you as an artist?
I'm sure there was something before this. When I was in high school, I was exposed to the American hardcore punk scene. There was a club in Stamford, Connecticut called the Anthrax, and it was sort of between New York and Boston. So any of the bands that played in New York or in Boston also played in Stamford on the way. And so I got to see most of the greats in this small environment. It was another basement. It was like the basement of an art gallery. It was the only grassroots art movement I've ever been exposed to in a meaningful way. I mean, it was like almost every week there would be, you know, you could see the Bad Brains or the Minutemen or the Dead Kennedys or, you know, Minor Threat would be in these room with 50 people. So I think the thing that inspired me most was that all those guys were do-it-yourselfers. It was a DIY music industry. And this is the scene that eventually created Nirvana. I think it's like kind of the apotheosis of that time. It kind of really taught me. I remember like being in the school bus of Jodie Foster's Army, which was one of my favorite. They were like the ultimate skate punk band. Hardcore skate band, and like smoking weed in the back of the van. It was a school bus, and they had like a Alfred Hitchcock Presents sticker on the bus, and it was all stickered up. But we listened to the Apocalypse Now soundtrack, and I just, it was so alien to my way of thinking, but it really informed how I do things now. I mean, everything we do is totally by do it yourself.
Do you remember a particular track from that period that stuck with you?
Oh, well, there are so many. I read your questions about three songs and that would describe. But there was this one song by my favorite band from that period, Minor Threat. And they only, I think if you have the complete discography of every song they did, it's 1 hour long. I think it is like 60 minutes of everything they did. And they were the best one. They're the band that defined that period the most, in the purest sense. Don't smoke, I don't drink.
So you're referring to like the three songs that describe Tom Sachs, basically, right? So that's one of the Ross records.
Sorry, but I wouldn't even be like, it's hard to pick one.
It's very hard.
You know, or maybe I would pick, if I had to pick one from the hardcore scene, I would probably pick Holiday in Cambodia, which is another version of like middle class malaise and not appreciating what you got. Because they were the other best band. Say I'm in the school for a year or two, and you know you've seen it all. The night is cold, thinking you'll go far back, easy time to fall. The ethnic jazz of a ritual smash on the vibe grand stereo. But I can let you know how the niggas feel cold, and the songs got so much soul. It's time to taste what you must bear. If I were to pick three songs, I would probably really pick songs that were about my work life. Like, you know, My First Song by Jay-Z. Y'all wanna know why you don't stop? Y'all wanna know why you don't flop? Let me tell you, people, I came from the bottom of the block. When I was born, it was sworn I was never gonna be shit. Had to pull the opposite, I was bitch. Had to get my ride on. Eyes on the prize, Sean knew I had to get these chips. Had to make moves like Elijah Wan. Started out selling dimes and nicks. Graduated to a brick, no exaggeration. My infatuation with the strip. Legendary like a schoolboy crush on every chick. Heavy shit. That's how schoolboy got whipped and got left on some chest. Me, myself, and I on some true boy shit. Had to voice to a place up, to a place of no return. Had to play with fire and get burned. Only way the boy ever gon' learn. Had to lay way in the cut till I finally got my turn. Now I'm on top in the spot that I earned. It's my life. And maybe probably the best song I would pick would be the Work Song written by Frank Lloyd Wright, which is about from 1896. And this is not something that you can...
Oh, wow.
This is not something that you can hear on Spotify unless someone's recorded it, but I could do it for you if you want to hear it. It takes a minute. You want to hear it? You can cut it out if it's good.
Let's hear it. Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Okay. All right. So it's called Work Song. I'll live as I'll work as I am. No work in fashion for sham, nor to favor forsworn wear mask, crest, or thorn. My work as befitteth a man. My work, work that befitteth the man. I'll work as I'll think as I am. No thought of fashion or sham, nor for fortune the jade serve vile gods of trade. My thought as beseemeth a man. My thought. Thought that beseemeth the man. I'll think as I'll act as I am. No deed in fashion for sham, nor for fame ever man-made sheath, the naked white blade, my act as becometh a man. My act, acts that becometh the man. I'll act as I'll die as I am. No slave of fashion or sham, of freedom, proud, hers to shrive, guard, or shroud, my life as betideth the man. My life, aye, whatever betideth the man.
Wow. That's so cool. I didn't know he did a song.
I know. But, you know, he had a whole, like, cult. You can't have a cult without a theme song.
So true. Wow.
Whew.
That was good.
Thanks, man. Thanks. My first live recording.
I love it. World premiere. Here on, are we on air? What's your process when you're creating in your studio? I mean, you are an inventor. I mean, you're a fantastic artist, but you are obviously very creatively wired. And do you listen to music in the studio? And has or music or a song in particular influenced a piece of yours?
Most of the time, I have to work in silence. Now, when I was younger, it was different. Now I spend so much time thinking. I think when I was younger, I was doing more process-oriented work. So in a sense, like when I'm cleaning or if I'm doing repetitive tasks in sculpture or something that's very physical and automatic, I can have music on. Like when I'm doing ceramics, I can have music because I'm not thinking. I'm just using my body like an athlete. But if I'm planning or drawing or engineering or meditating, it's just a distraction. It's input. So I can't have a lot of input. But there are times when I'm doing physical stuff, like if I'm cleaning or assembling or doing something repetitive, where I need like the music and the drive and the energy, and that's like dance, and it is my body and or ceramics. And I think probably like if I'm to think about the music that moves me, that moves my body, it's dance music, because that's what gets me going. And Sarah teases me sometimes that she snuck it up on me in the studio once. She came in and unlocked the door silently and watched me, and she saw me dancing with my cat. and I wasn't working. I was just in there, and it's kind of like the biggest, like most empty space. It's like a, you know, it's like whatever, like a, you know, 15-foot circle, enough to dance for sure. And it was James Brown, of course. And you know, he's the guy that really inspires me. If I'm to think of the people that ask me, who are the artists that inspire you? They expect to hear like Picasso or Alexander Calder or whatever. But it's James Brown for sure, because he's the guy that brings me the energy. You know, he's my inspiration.
Do you have a favorite record of his?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, I know this is a little bit of a cheat, but I would just say Star Time. You know, all four CDs. Because, like, James Brown wasn't really an album artist, right? Those are all singles. I mean, there were albums, but I don't, like, there's no album that's great. I mean, all the albums that are good are compilations, and I think the best one is Star Time, or else Roots of a Revolution, which is all the early songs before Star Time, which is just as good. It's early. Those are awesome. I couldn't tell you a song that I love, because, I mean, I don't like everything from Living in America forward, you know, but everything before that was amazing. Like, I liked his, like, mature, like, disco, you know, when he's inventing hip-hop, like, all this, you know, everything. You know, I love the early stuff, where it's like, where he's, like, wanting to be Little Richard, and he's kind of better than Little Richard, even in some ways. I mean, Oliver Sholem, I know I was just, you know, when someone dies, someone like a titan like that dies, it gives you the opportunity to reevaluate his life. Like, I had ample opportunity to see him.
Oh,
and I never did. Wow. I never did. Did you see him?
No.
No, I no, but we could have, right?
But that's the
we
thing. The more and more of these like giants of music in general are passing away, I always have this battle in my mind. I'm like, I need to make a list of the people who, as Sarah say, are likely to pass in the past 5 to 10, 15 years, because now's the time to still catch them. Maybe not at their prime, but still to get the experience and to actually feel the energy in a room with that person. I mean, I think everybody should be doing that.
Walk right up to me, baby. Tell me, what have I done wrong? Walk right up to me, baby. Tell me, what have I done wrong? I want to know that you still love me. Or have I been away too long?
Yeah, I mean, I got to see Fela Kuti perform.
What?
Right? In Santa Monica at the auditorium. And, you know, and that was like the, and I'm not like a big live music guy, but like that was like a pinnacle thing.
Wow.
And I wasn't even, I mean, I just like kind of was, I was a fan, but I didn't, wasn't as obsessed. I was much more obsessed after, I should say, you know.
I mean, seeing him live, I mean.
it was so cool because, like, this guy came up on stage and he was really old and he started, like, playing a drum. And I was like, this guy's not so great. He's good. He's great. I mean, he's amazing, but he's just, like, modest. And then some more people came on stage and then some more people, and it took, like, an hour. And then about an hour after that first – after he came on stage, this guy came, like, running, screaming on stage. And that was Fela. He was, like – he came an hour into the show.
Amazing.
And, but it had, like, built up and then played for whatever, 2 more hours or something. I don't remember. But it was, like – I guess I just never seen a show like that that built and made you, like – that sucked you in. Like, it was just so pro. It was so, like, the roots of it were so deep. It seemed like it was ancient. Like, it had been there forever and would always be there. It was so...
Well, it has been. And especially when you listen to African music, you just see, you hear today's Western music so much in it. It's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, to a point where it's one-to-one copies to certain points. Actually, one of the best live performances I've ever seen was also an African artist called Yusu Ndour.
You know, amazing.
Hands down the best live show I've ever really? Seen. I mean, and there's something about, I mean, they come in with a pack of people and they, as you said, there's a build up, there's an energy in the room, engagement with the audience to, like, come and join us on the stage and you're part of the music, you know.
Wow, that's
it's
cool.
Just another level.
Everybody would like to meet Ginger Bickard. Everybody, come on. Yeah. Don't worry now. That's enough. The record is moving. Now let's stop. Now we're going to go into our next tune. Now this one is called, in my own thing, language, Ye Ye De Smell. Smell is English. Ye Ye De Smell. That means this is like a kind of friendship thing. When you're somebody's friend and he's doing the things that a friend doesn't do, then he smells. Right on. I'm going to feature Ginger on this tune. I wrote this tune specially for Ginger. Yeah, yeah, the smell. He doesn't smell really. He takes his bath.
One, ready, five. One, two, three, four.
Well, to go back to you, what does life in quarantine sound like to you now that you are stuck at home in your studio? What song, do you have a song on repeat right now?
You know, I started to get a little more organized. I've been here for a while, but for the first 3 weeks, I only, every day in the studio, and the studio is, by the way, the basement. I live upstairs and my studio is in the basement. I'm sitting at my comms station, my desk with my phone on a tripod, iPads, and a manual typewriter, and a stack of paper, my water bottle, and I would just play Bach's Johannes Passion, John's Passion, and I have it. I'll show you which one I've got. It's so good because I know Tadeusz will mock me probably. Because this isn't like the correct one. It's like not like the Von Karajan version or whatever. He's such a snob about his classical music. But this is like, yeah, it's an old Telefunken Johannes Passion.
And oh, wow.
It's,
das alte Werk.
Yeah. So, and I guess it is from Vienna, and it's Hans Gilsberger is the conductor. So I don't know if that guy's considered good or not, but I think he's great. And I've been listening to that a lot. And, you know, it's just like the ultimate story. And it's beautiful.
Oh,
well, when you're not confined to your four walls in your basement, you're usually in space.
Yeah.
Well, where's this fascination with space from? And what song or sound would you choose to describe space for you?
You know, we go to other planets, not because we fucked up this planet or looking for a new home, but so we can better understand our resources here on Earth. And I think this time of COVID quarantine is really just the beginning of nature saying, hey guys, respect. But at the same time, I think you have to explore other worlds. And I'm very excited because on the 25th, I think, we've got a launch, our first launch on American soil in 9 years. SpaceX is launching U.S. astronauts into space, so pretty excited about that. And wow. I just think it's an important discipline that we maintain. We cannot give up on this. Like, we have to learn how to be more efficient. There's nothing where you have to be more efficient than in space travel. Those rockets that seem so expensive are – every penny is squeezed. There's no waste in those space programs. It's not about profit. Believe me, every scrap that Elon Musk is saving on this, he's putting towards going to Mars. This is not a for-profit thing. Every little bit of money on Tesla is all going towards the space program. That's what's happening. So how dare you drive a brand new Mercedes when you could have a Tesla? It's the same money. Mm. And you can close the loop and not have to have gas. You know, completely get rid of those the fucking patriarchy of the petroleum industry, please. But the songs about space are best done by the movies, and I love the Blue Danube, Strauss's Blue Danube with the sexy docking sequence in 2001. I love Brian Eno and Toto and their work together on the Dune soundtrack. All that, like, the Dune soundtrack's fantastic. Just listen, the movie is like,
yeah,
so fucked up and great, but the music's so good. But one thing I would recommend that I discovered last year that I listened to on repeat a lot was Brian Eno's The Ship. And it's not about a spaceship, but it is about a ship on the ocean. And I don't think there's really a difference. The discipline is the same. You know, you go to another planet, or you go from Europe to the New World to Africa. Like, that's, it's the same. And that's good space music.
Are you, you mentioned Elon, are you guys close? Do you guys have worked before together on something?
We spent a little time, I mean, we spent a day together once, but, you know, we're not working on anything. I would love to help anything. I just watched his latest podcast. He did say something interesting about, you know, he's selling his houses so that he doesn't have to spend time working on your house. Like, you know, you live in your house, especially now, like, you're like, for me, I'm the CEO and the janitor of this house, and you can have a really nice house. Like, he's got Gene Wilder's house, but he doesn't want to spend time fixing it. He wants to spend time getting us to Mars. So it's about focus. So if he needs my help, he's got it. I'm 100% behind him.
A little shout out to Elon Musk right here.
yeah. Please. We're behind you.
Exactly. I love your boomboxes. You know, first time I saw a boombox was at Andre Saeva's studio. He showed it to me. I loved it. So tell me about those boomboxes and what's best to be played on those.
So I make boomboxes from scratch, you know, out of found components from other boomboxes and stereo systems and stuff. And I've been doing it since high school. And I'm on... I've done 69 of them, and not including vehicles, because I've done a lot of custom sound systems for cars. I will never do a custom sound system for a car, because I mean the sound system in your Mercedes is better than any sound system I could ever build.
Here's the thought though: your boombox in a Tesla.
I don't have a Tesla, but although I've put a deposit down for the truck when it comes out. But yeah, I mean it would be a fantastic. Oh man, a Cybertruck would be an amazing platform for a parade sound system.
There you go.
That would be rad. That would be rad. So maybe. But I don't have a song. Like I would just like when people ask me, you know, I usually give iPods, although that's even, I don't know if iPods even exist anymore. But you know, just as long as you don't play Jamiroquai on one of my boom boxes, it's totally cool. Whatever you want.
Nice. Well, you're in New York, you're a New York boy. What song would you choose to describe your New York City?
A knife, a fork, a bottle, and a cork. That's the way we spell New York right on. Cocaine running around my brain. Do you know that song?
No.
Oh, it's so good. Listen, you know, it's so good. It's so good. And I don't like cocaine, really, but it's just like it speaks again to like the glamour of the 80s. You know, like, and I don't know what Dillinger's life was like. And do you know Dillinger, the reggae artist?
No.
Not huge. Just had a couple of songs. That was probably the big one. A knife, a fork, a buckle, and a cork. That's the way we spend New York, man. You see, no matter where I treat my guests, they always lock my kitchen best. Cause I cocaine running around my brain. The other song he had was CB200, which is one of my favorite songs ever. The CB200 is a Honda motorcycle. It's like a Rasta motorcycle. Rastas had them. I had one when I lived in England because they were the cheapest motorcycle you could get in London in the 80s, because you had a learner's permit, got you a 125, and you couldn't get anything over 125. And if you got the full permit, which is a pain in London. It's not easy in US. It's like a real exam. It takes a lot of time. You're not going to just jump up to a 200, which is basically the same power as a 125. Yeah. You're going to want to get a, you know, at least a 400 or 600 or something. And, yeah. And, but as a result, like 200s were cheaper than 125. 125s were expensive because everyone wanted them, because you could get an easy license to ride them. Anyway. So he's wrote a song about that, and that was like another one of my songs that connected, because it was like about my life. Great sound gone. CB 100. I'm not rich, but the sun shines for me. Mercy, Lord, Lord have mercy. Hold me tight, young.
You are also, I think you're like a very in-demand artist, especially with today's youths, through your collaborations with Nike and other artists, one of them being Frank Ocean. What was it like working with Frank, and do you have a favorite song of his?
I love Frank. He's a great artist. Wise beyond his years. You know, that we did the video for Provider. And I feel so lucky that that was the song that we got to do, because it's one of his better songs. And I thought that was fun. But it's good. I don't like collaborations. I'm not even sure that what we did was a collaboration, but we worked together. But it was more like he does his thing, I do my thing, and it works. And that's good. I'm careful with collaborations because, you know, you want it to be something that neither person could do without the other.
Mm.
Otherwise, there's like a power struggle of like one person, you know, wants to do. So I think collaborations are best when the people are very far apart. Like I make sculpture and he makes music or whatever. So I think it worked.
Man, I'm finna start acting out if I don't see him soon. Yeah, my best friend ain't back and out of still on sight. Fool, I'm the only one out here on the night loose. I'm the only one out here on the night loose. Trophy case still light, body need a racetrack. And these minerals on my body break light. And these reds on my body break light. New man coming up ahead on his own too. Is you a natural blondie like Goku? Sleeping on my belly in a loop like a serpent. Talking heads rippling on the surface. Eyes low, chin heavy, shoegazer. Moonwalking, R.I.P. Stanley Kubrick. You had you some birthdays, could you prove it?
Let's go slightly more intimate. What's your go-to falling in love or heartbreak song?
Well, you know, you could certainly say like all of Channel Orange is, if we're still on Frank, that would be a good heartbreak song. But I heard a song today that I liked even more.
Ooh.
Cellophane.
Ooh, yeah.
By FKA Twigs. Magdalene's the record.
Correct, yeah, it's FKA
Twigs. Right, is that how it works? Yeah, who, what is that? What is FKA Twigs? It's just a great song. It's incredible.
She's a English artist. You might actually really like her. She's a dancer, or was a dancer, or is a dancer, and became a singer-songwriter, and she's a great performer, very artistic, and it's a great track.
She's a fucking genius.
Yeah, you should check out her records.
I'm going to. I heard that for the first time today. She crushed me this morning. I was doing a little research, and I was like, yeah. That's it.
I just want to feel your touch. And I don't want to have to share alone. I try, but I get overwhelmed.
Nice. Good choice. Well, what's the sexiest song?
Okay, that's easy. And there are so many. But the song I'm picking today is Good Golly Miss Molly. Sure loves to ball. Balling is fucking. When she's rocking and rolling, which is also slang for fucking, she can't hear her mama call. I mean, that is a nasty song. That's probably like Little Richard's second, like first or second most popular songs. And that is profane. And he's screaming. I mean, this is like laying the groundwork for James Brown, which is, you know, pure sex. Like he invented it. Little Richard invents that with that song. And it is so dirty. It's such a turn on. No wonder people were terrified of rock and roll. Their daughters were going to go out and...
Rocking and rolling.
Yeah, rocking and rolling. So I was really blown away when I was revisiting Little Richard with how nasty that song is. And they're all like that. It's just like hot. And I was just thinking about...
The power of language.
Yeah, yeah, but also like the way he sings it, if you like hear those words and you sing, you hear the sex in his voice. And then I was thinking about like we're in this golden age of hip hop, right? And I don't feel that people are sufficiently appreciative of the time that we're living in. Mm-hmm. Right? This is magic. We're living in this time. The best music's being made, like I feel like in my lifetime is now. And I mean, you could argue, okay, like the 90s had Biggie Small, whatever, but it's like you just feel the energy. It's like because it's captivating, the it's bigger now, and it's like it's more people are involved, and it's everyone's listening to it.
It's beyond the genre.
Yeah, it's like it crossed over. Yeah. And I think, and that's only good because it means more people are doing it, and also now recorded music is like out and live music's coming back in. If you want to make money, you got a tour and all that stuff. So it's all good for music, right? Like I don't care about how much money anyone makes. I only care about the music. But so then I was thinking someone's got to be doing it. And then that it's embracing like the viscera of sex. And, you know, I was trying to go through my mind and I was thinking like, what's a sexy, and I was thinking like D'Angelo, super sexy, whatever. But then I was thinking, no, hold up. And a lot of the songs on Lemonade, and it's sexy because here's like this, like our, literally our queen, like our most meaningful, like the first lady, right? You know, catches her dirtbag husband, who's like an like practically equal level rock star, you know, fucking Becky with a long hair, with a good hair. And instead of divorcing him, she writes her best album, a double fucking album, to humiliate and shame him out of business. So he has to go do something else with his life now. Like, he's now doing whatever he's doing. She and she does it with her best record. And that song, Hold Up, is about how much she hates him because she loves him so much. So that's the sexiest song.
They don't love you like I love you. Slow down, they don't love you like I love you. Back up, they don't love you like I love you. Step down, they don't love you like I love you. Can't you see there's no other man above you? What a wicked way to treat the girl that loves you. Oh love, they don't love you like I love you. Hold down, they don't love you like I love you.
Well, to wrap up our little chat, if your life would be a movie, what would play in the end credits?
All right. Well, and you know, this is a tough question. There's nothing that won't be a cliche. There's no way to answer this without it being a full cliche. So I'm going to say Christmas Time in New York by the Pogues.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting choice. I like it. Why?
Yeah. Why? Oh, just because it's like the most, I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's like the, it's like a song that you'd play at a funeral, or like, I don't know. It's just, it's also like it's sad. It's joyous. It's like, you know, it's a New Orleans funeral. It's the drunken Irish wedding when they take, you know, Uncle Bob out of the coffin and dance around with his corpse. You know, it's all the things you're not supposed to do. And it moves me.
Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song.
I made a feature movie, and we showed it at South by Southwest, and it's called A Space Program. It's on iTunes if you want to watch it. And we spent all the money on the closing credit song. We licensed Debaser.
Oh wow!
From the Pixies, because it's like my favorite Pixies song or whatever. The studio's got a bunch of theme songs, but that's one of the studio theme songs.
That's our outro. There you go.
Perfect. Man, thank you.
It's been a real pleasure. Yeah, it was fun to be on air with the spaceman.
Yeah. Thanks, Armand. Thank you.
Got me a movie. I want you to know.
This episode's playlist, visit areweonair.com, where you'll be able to enjoy the full playlist mentioned in this conversation.